I wanted to speak about how to officiate at a levaya, and then if we have some time, speak a little bit about the Inkel Avenel. If you don't have time, we'll speak about it a little bit more throughout the summer, Blue Netter. So you get the call from someone that one of their seven relatives died, which is very jarring and upsetting, of course. And you want to express your condolences right away and offer, if you can help the person any way possible, as you being the Rav, their Rav. What that entails is, you know, if they want you to come over right away, if you can, do that and go over right away. Or schedule a time to go over. Or if they don't want you to come over, a time to be able to talk to them where the person can give you a biography of the nifter, because you want to prepare a hesped, and a hesped should entail the biography of a person. Many times you'll attend a levaya and you walk out of levaya, you have no idea what the person did or what when they were born or how long they lived or what they did in their lives. And part of the hesped, if you're the Rav, should entail a biography, especially if the relatives are not going to do that. And that's important. It takes time. You know, the year they were born, the year they died, where they grew up, you know, children, grandchildren. You ask the family, do you want them to have you name the people, the names, specific names? And that takes time to make sure you get it right and you don't mess it up. You know, you don't want to mess up the names of the children and grandchildren at a levaya. And specific place where they grew up. These are also questions you should really ask at the Shiva house. Anytime you pay a Shiva call. You know, anytime you pay a Shiva call, a lot of people think that you stay silent and you wait for the Oval to say something. That's true, but a lot of times it's not taken that way. You want a person to ask some questions about the Nifter. You're not supposed to talk about the ball game at a Shiva house. If you see a friend you haven't seen in 20 years, you're not supposed to say hi to him there. Say hi to him outside. The Rav said there's an Isser Shel Lashon, the whole bias. You're supposed to focus on what the Nifter did, you know, what their hobbies were. Did they ever take trips there to Israel? You know, if they were married, how'd they meet their spouse? These are important questions that people appreciate. You walk out of the house and the Shiva call was a meaningful Shiva call. And you have to think about how to ask it. And like I said, this is a checklist of questions you can ask at a Shiva house. And these questions should be answered in your hesped about the person. And that's why you interview. You're going to be interviewing the people. Now, on a more practical level, you have to ask, you know, where the Nifter and Nifteris is. They might need you to call the funeral home. Usually, the funeral home will come and take the Nifter, whether it's from the house or the hospital. You know, they can't take it till it's been declared by a doctor that the person has died. And you have to wait till that's signed off. And just to be specific, you know, and clear that, you know, as teaching, you know, when I got the call, my mom was Nifter. You know, I called one of the guys in the shul, is one of the main guys in the Chevra Kedisha in Psaic, and I went immediately to the nursing home after stopping in the house and telling my wife and kids. I went to the nursing home, and I waited there. In fact, I mean, I don't mean to be so detailed, but I will be. They did not. The minig is to obviously put the sheet over the terrace, which they had not done, so I did that. And I did all the arrangements in the room, but we weren't able to take her out until a doctor signed off that she was Nifteris. So Baruch Hashem, the guy in Baal Bus in our shul, is one of the heads of the Chevra Kedisha, so he called the guy, they brought a van over, and within 2 hours, we were able to take my mom out. Now, there is a halacha, they don't allow it in America in most places. There's something called hashkava. You're supposed to put the body of the nifteris or the man on the floor, which they don't allow in America, at least legally. The nursing home, they don't allow it. So, but we you escort the nifteris out, and they take the nifteris or nifter to the funeral home, where there should be a shomer there saying Tehillim. And a shomer, there was a firm assistant administrator at the hospital, that was saying to Hillen. But you have to ask the family whether, a lot of times they're flustered, they don't know what to do, so the Rav will actually do this for them, call the funeral home, say what, every funeral home that is Jewish is 24/7, and they answer the, and they will be able to come and take the Nifteris or the Nifter, and you have to make sure that a Tahara is done properly by Orthodox Chevra Kedisha. And if the family refuses to do a Tahara, then you can say, I refuse to officiate at the Levaya. And also, if they refuse to do Kriya, they tear these ribbons. You know, I won't tear a ribbon. You know, I won't cut a ribbon. Ribbons, it's a joke. The, you know, reform movement did away with the mitzvah of Kriya. They put a ribbon, they cut the ribbon. So, you know, if you're going to, you have to be upfront with them. I won't say I won't do the Levaya if you won't do Kriya, but if they won't do a, if they won't do a Levaya, if they won't do a Tahara, I wouldn't officiate at the Levaya. You know, Tahara is the right way to do it. There have been many, a few times I've convinced families not to cremate. Cremate is an Issa D'Oraisa. It's all shy with Tchias Amesim. But people do cremation, unfortunately. A lot of Jewish people, they save a lot of money. And it's a terrible thing. You have to convince them to do Kfura Ba'adama to Mitzvah D'Oraisa. Takbor Tik Morenu. Yes, Zach.
What's a Tahara?
A Tahara is the process where the Chevra Kedisha bathes the Nifteris. Some Chevra Kedisha have a minute to do it in the mikveh. Most don't do it, but they bathe the, clean the body, and they put shrouds, tachrichim. They dress the Nifteris or the Nifter in shrouds, and they're different minhagim that the Sefer Mavre Yabok records, and different Chevra Kedishas have their own minhagim. Chevra Kedisha is a real covet to be part of the Chevra Kedisha. It should be only a Shomer Shabbos and people that are kosher. People that are not from should really not be allowed in the Chevra Kedisha. And it's a very, very big covetic thing, and people shouldn't talk about it. You do it silent, you do it, you don't talk about, oh, I did this, I did that Tahara, I did this Tahara. But it's an Orthodox ritual bathing, it's called a Tahara. They all know what it is, and you should insist that it should be done. And you do it in a nice way, you know, you do it in a nice way. Usually, hopefully, the people you'll deal with are B'nai Torah, but sometimes people want to have an Orthodox funeral that aren't for them, and that's what you need to be transparent with them. Yes, Max.
What do people typically object to for the Tahara? Like, what are they objecting to if they don't want to do it?
I don't know. I don't know why they have this notion of they want to be buried in cloth. I don't know. Maybe if they got it from non-Jews. I really don't know.
Is the Tahara that like they can't be buried in their clothes or something?
Yes, they cannot be buried in their clothes.
They want them to be buried in their clothes.
So yeah, I guess, or whatever. Nicer, whatever it is. You know, they want that to happen. So. Yes, Ariel.
When we were in high school,
yes,
one of our rebbeim was on the Chevra Kedisha, so they took us to the funeral home.
Yes,
and they showed us that one of the things they do is they take three buckets of water and they, I don't know, like throw it, I guess, the water onto different parts of the body.
Right, it's called Tisha Kaben.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, is that instead of a mikvah?
Yes, that's what's done usually with most Chevra Kedisha.
Okay.
Yes.
And also, when it comes to Kriya, is that done when the body's already in the ground?
So we're going to go through that. We'll go through that. So, yes, go ahead.
I know in Israel, they when Hayalim are buried, they bury them in their...
Really? Didn't know that.
So I think it's considered like... Even religious Hayalim.
Really?
Because I think it's because they consider, you know, it's like, you know, like they were killed on Kiddush Hashem. So they are...
So that's like considered to be a Kiddush Hashem. Well, we'll see in the dinner. If that's what it is, then that's considered to be Kiddush Hashem. But if you're not a chayal, like you should be buried in Tachrichim. Mm-hmm. So that's the call. That's the first call that you have to the family. And like I said, to prepare a hespa takes a lot of time. And to plan that out. So then there are two ways you could do a levaya. You could have two stages. First at the funeral home. And then at the cemetery, or you can do something that's called graveside, where everything's done at the Beis HaKfaras. So let's go through the first possibility, and that is the two stages. So what you do at a funeral home is that they bring the Aron in, and after the Tahara has been done, everything's been pre-prepared, and you say Kapitlach of Tehillim, Hebrew, English. It's a woman, it's nice to say she's chayal too as well. And then you have hespedim. It's good to encourage the relatives to do hespedim. And then usually the meaning is the rabbi at the end will say his own hesped, but he introduces everyone. And usually including that is they ask mechila from the person in the nifteris. And my minig is at the end of everything, then you do kriya. You were asking Ariel, because that's shas chimun, the most emotional time. Most rabbanim that I've seen do it in the beginning, but I don't think it's right. Shas chimun, I've seen rabbanim do this as well, and I think it's better to do shas chimun at the end of the levaya, when people are crying after the hesped. That's when you do the kriya and you say the bracha of dayan emes with them, Hashem Hashem. And if it's we'll get to all the din when we get to kriya. Father, mother, you do on the left side. Other relatives, you do on the right side. And there's a lot of differences between the two. We won't get into that now, but that's if you're doing, you say a kel mole too, you sing the kel mole at the end. And it's good, I think, to always translate, unless they're really b'nai Torah, they don't need a translation. But it's always nice to translate, to do do the whole kapitel in Hebrew, and then do English. You can call people up to do the kapitloch. And if it's a day where there's no tachanun, so you don't say kapitloch, you only say one or two. And you don't say Akel Mole. And the Hesped you really shouldn't do either. You should do, for my mom was during Nissan, we didn't do anything. We just gathered for 15 minutes and said Kepidlach of Tehillim. So.
What about the, the big Kaddish? Or I know there are also certain. And also I know there are certain minhagim with how the pallbearers, are supposed to stop.
Right. We'll get to that. So that's basically what you do at the funeral home. And then when you get to the cemetery, you escort out the nifter to the hearse, and you follow after the hearse. And then when you get to the cemetery, and you are about to take out the nifteris from the hearse, so you say, if you haven't been there in 30 days, you say, a bracha to Hashem b'chai meisim. It's a long bracha. It's not so long, but it's a bracha you say. You say it out loud, and everyone can answer amen. And then the pallbearers, if they'll let you, a lot of times you should be friendly with the non-Jewish gravediggers. Sometimes they're tough guys. But if they allow you to take the pallbearers out, so you, as you walk, you should go a good distance, the hearse to the actual place where you're going to bury the person. Because you really should do the Shiva stops, they're called Sheva Ma'amados. You say the Kapitel Yoshe B'Seser. So you say there's seven words at the end of Yoshe B'Seser. So you say as you go seven stops, you say the whole Kapitel Yoshe B'Seser until seven words to the end, and then six words, and then five words, and four words. So you're saying basically Yoshe B'Seser seven times by the time you get to the kever. And then if they let you, you place the kever on the boards on the top, and you lower the aron. And what you do at that point is you start the digging. And the digging is a mitzvah d'oraisa, the Rav would always say. And the Rav does the first three diggings backwards. The shovel's done backwards to show show everything's like topsy-turvy now by losing a loved one. And you don't hand the shovel to a person. The meaning is you put the shovel back in the heap of dirt. And you shovel, and it's a mitzvah to shovel. Everyone should try to shovel. And the best bet is to try to shovel all the way. Sometimes it takes a half an hour, maybe even an hour. If it's freezing cold and there's only five guys there, you're not going to be able to do it. So you should at least cover the aro with dirt the best you can. And then you finish up the levaya, and then you wait till everyone leaves. The rav stays, and he has the bulldozer come and does it, the rest of the dirt. But that's really not ideal. You really should do the shoveling yourselves with the yidim. Should do all the shoveling. And you shovel until there's a tzuris hakever. The Taz says that you make a tzuris hakever. And after the tzuris hakever, the hump of dirt is made. You take a shovel and you make like a rectangle around the kever, around the aron that is in the ground, been interred in the ground. And you put the head marker there. And that will connote the end of the kfuru, but you're not done yet because you have to say tziduk adin. Tziduk adin is a long, long tefillah that everyone really should say, but the Rav has to say out loud. It's in the Sidurim where you say to Hashem that you accept the din and you're not complaining about it and you wouldn't change the din. In fact, the Gemara says in Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Ches, if you pay a shiva call and say, what can we do? It's considered blaspheming Hashem because that implies you would have changed the din if you could have. Chas v'shalom. Whatever Hashem says goes, but it's sometimes not easy.
You don't say that on a day without tachon, right?
You don't say tzidik adin in a day you don't say tachon. You don't say the kamal, you don't say tzidik adin. But tzidik adin on a day where it can be said, it's very important to be said, and you should say it in Hebrew and in English. And then there's a statement that if a woman died, you say lechi b'shalom. If the man died, you say lech b'shalom. It's normally say lech lish shalom by someone's alive. Someone's nifter, because the Gemara says, Av Shalom was hung. David HaMelech said to him, lech b'shalom. He's hung, his hair got entangled because he was a Nazar. But everyone knows Shimshon was a Nazar. The Gemara says, according to one Tana, in the last mission, Nazar Shmuel was a Nazar also. And the Gemara says, Av Shalom was also a Nazar. So, Lamaisa, you also take a piece of grass and throw it over your right shoulder and say a phrase, V'atzitzu b'offer. You can find it in the Madrich. And then you set up two lines, preferably women on one side, men on the other, and you have the Avelim walk through the lines, and you say, Amakom Yenachemsem. That's called a Shura. You make a line, and that's called a Shura. And the meaning is you put a rock on the by the place. Actually, there's no rock yet, so there's no rock. You don't do it with the Levi. You do after the headstone, after you do an Avelim, which is usually, in Chutzlarts, you do it a year later. You do it a year later because people don't know the dinim so well. Because if you do the headstone earlier than the unveiling, people will think the Avelis is done. So you always, in America, the minhag is to push it off to a year. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, they do it right away. They're more knowledgeable. They know that even when you do the headstone, you know there's still Avelis going on. Halacha l'maaseh. Yes, Zach.
I don't know if this is true across Eretz Yisrael, but I know in the Eretz Chaim Cemetery outside Beit Shemesh, which is where many people from YU are buried.
My father was buried there, yes.
So they make the sewer sakever with stones. So is that preferable than to make it a line in the dirt, or?
No, it doesn't have to. In America, the minhag you do with dirt. There's not so many stones you can find. Yeah,
I think they like bring bricks.
Yeah, they have different minhagim, different chevra kedisha. They do rikudim too. I remember my father was levi when I took him there. They do rikudim. The chevra kedisha Yerushalayim, they do rikudim. They dance around the kever, and they throw these metal pieces. Also, little plak, little pilakshim, nasim l'matanas based on Avraham Avinu. They have different minhagim al pi kabbalah. Yes, yes, Joshua. Yes.
So I think I was listening to Wally Stein's Levaya, which was also kind of Sadia, but it seemed like they were.
Yeah, a lot of times they do they'll say something small but it's really not right. The truth is you shouldn't. The truth is you really shouldn't. Now there are certain days of the year where there is the Shas Chanukah, a Chacham Gadol, you are Maspid. So on certain days of the year, there's exceptions. But in Nissan, there's no exceptions for anything, you know? So, I don't know. Maybe Rosh Chodesh also is a day where they do a Chacham Gadol, you mask it also. So there are certain days, but like Nissan, there's no exceptions quoted about that. So I don't think they gave full, I didn't hear, listen, but it wasn't a big haspid, right? It wasn't a long, but they did say something. Okay, I was told that they didn't do anything. Okay. Yes, Kiki, go ahead.
What did it mean, dig backwards? Is it use the handle to...
No, use the handle in a backwards way, correct. That's the myth.
You turn it around.
The spade,
and you,
spade,
you,
yeah.
You turn the spade.
The spade, you do, yeah.
And
you
flip over the whole thing.
No.
It's instead of with the scooping side up, it's right. With the scooping side down.
You do the opposite side, correct. So that basically ends the Levaya, and... So that's if you're doing two stages. You do the funeral home, and then you do the cemetery. What happens if you do everything graveside? So you do everything graveside, so then you have to you do the shiva stops, and then you ask the grave diggers, a lot of times they don't let you, but you want them to leave the aron on the top of the boards, and then you do the process of the levaya. You would say the Kepitlach, then you say a Hesped, and then you say the Kelmaleh, and then you do all those things you would have done in the funeral home with the Aron being on the boards. A lot of times they don't let you do that, and they make you lower it right away, and then after you lower it, before you do the digging, you'll do the process of the Levaya with the Kepitlach and the Ayish Eschal and the Hespedim. Okay? That's how you do the graveside, and in that vein, you fulfill the mitzvah to the best possible, and it's a very critical mitzvah that you do properly. And to attend the levaya, you should try to have 10 guys. We could say the kaddish drabanan at the end, which is a special kaddish you say at the siyum, And you should try to have that and translate it in Hebrew and English if the best of your ability to try to do. So you want to try to have 10 there, and it's a big mitzvah. So you can try to do when it.
You say Kaddish HaGadol before the Shuros or after?
You say it before.
Okay.
You say it before. You say it after you do Tzedek Adin.
Mm-hmm.
Right after Tzedek Adin, you do the Kaddish, that special Kaddish. But that special Kaddish is only 10 days when you do Tachlin, okay? And Friday morning we do, and even after Friday after Chatzos, Lomaisa, do you say the Kaddish? I don't think you do, because you don't say Tachanun by Mincha. So before Chatzos, you do, Lomaisa, on a Friday morning. Okay, anybody have any other questions about it? Okay, so let's yes, Zach.
Is there anything different that you do for somebody who committed suicide, you know, lowly?
Nowadays, we assume the person was a shoytet. So therefore, they weren't mentally stable. So we assume they were shota. So we bury it regular. We don't do
so anything. You don't change the
right.
We don't change
anything nowadays. We assume present a mental condition, and we don't view him that he was did it on purpose. Like the Shulchan Aruch, we'll see. Shulchan Aruch has a case where a guy goes up the roof and he announces he's totally normal, and he just you know.
And I mean,
so that we don't have that. We don't assume we have that nowadays.
Again, also you know, low Elaine, you shouldn't have to deal with it. But what if somebody died, especially young, like, you know, a child? This is more like a suggestion. Like, what do you do in terms of the hespedim? Like,
that's good. Very, very good question. God forbid. You know, you got to be very, like I said, hesped takes a long time. You have to speak. If a person's older, you speak to the wife and the spouse. If someone was a young child, you have to speak to the parents in the hesped, you know, and it's, you know. You know, there are, I shouldn't say standard, but there are, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the neshama to this earth, you know, for whatever reason and in the most purest way. Like, you know, I can say about my nephew, you know, what are you going to say to somebody about that, you know? Obviously, you know, there's, you know, you have to think about this, you know, Alpi Kabbalah, there's Gogulim, you know, was centered, the neshama was centered for whatever. You have to see if that's going to fit the family. You got it. You know, like Rav Cohen Shlita always tells us, there's four, there's Arba Chalki Shulchan Aruch, but there's a fifth, and that's your Seichel. And that's very critical. And you have to, if you need to talk about it with a Rebbe before, how to plan it out, you have to know who you're dealing with and whether those types of things are going to be appropriate for them. But, you know, that's why I said it has to take, you know, a lot of time to think about. And, you know what to focus on, and it's an important thing to try to, you know, prepare, you know, and you have to be honest. You can't exaggerate. It says in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch that if you lie, it's in the Kodesh Baruch Hu judges someone for that. You can't lie and exaggerate when something's not true. But on the other hand, you can't say, you know, this guy was a, you know, a ganav. You know what I mean?
What if he was a ganav? Like,
so you have to, you know, you have to. It's not easy. There's things you got to try to, you know, plan how you're going to do that. You know, you don't have to include that in the hesped. But on the other hand, you can't say he was the biggest tzaddik in the world either. You know what I mean? You have to focus on the positive things that he did in his life. You know, those or her life. Okay, so we'll talk about this more throughout the summer, another time in the summer. But wanted to just finish up about this topic of Nicham Aveilim and paying the Shiva call, and that, you know, you'll have to arrange with the family a Sudas Avra. The family shouldn't pay for the Sudas Avra. The shul should, or neighbors should. You're not allowed to eat a meal, the first meal after the Levaya, from your own money. It has to be paid for by someone else. It's a din in the Gemara, Sudas Avra. So if there's no one else is going to do it, then the shul should do it. Or the Rav has a discretionary fund, or he should have to. You know, I've called many times caterers to do it. Oh, the rabbi should have to call. Well, if no one else is going to do it, you do it. Don't stand on ceremony. You know what I mean? And I clean up the garbage sometimes. Sometimes, when you all the time. You know. So what's the difference? Kohen Gadol will do the Truma Zedeshin. You don't stand on ceremony. So, and you have to, if you have to run the shiva. You know, the Rav didn't like doing Mishnayos between Mincha and Ma'ariv, because he felt there's Isser Talmud Torah on the whole house. But Lamaisa, the meaning is that people do Mishnayos between Mincha and Ma'ariv, and it's a nice thing, and certainly you should pay a Shiva call, and like I said, ask those appropriate questions, and take the interest. And the Rambam has a stunning Chiddush. The Rambam writes in Perek Yudal, Lachazayin Chos Avol. You know, the Rambam writes in Akdomet,
that Ram was a tzaddik, wasn't a Baal Gai, but we all know that. But he says after he finishes his work with the Yad HaChazaka, all you need is a Tanakh and my Yad HaChazaka, because I codified all the dinim and shas. That's what he says. Now, once in a while, Ram will say, you're royally. I think, I don't know, on the computer, I had someone check that once. Maybe he says 25, 30 times, you're royally, he has a chiddush. So in Pirik Yudala Lachazayin Hilchos Avol, he has a chiddush, he says. He says, what happens if they have to make a choice to either pay a shibukah or visit the sick? Which one comes first? Ram says, Yerali, Nicham Avelim is Kodim. Why? Because there's a double chesed you're doing when you do Nicham Avelim. You're doing chesed with the mace, and you're doing chesed with the relatives of the nifter. So it's a double chesed as opposed to what? A single chesed, Bikur Kodim, visiting the sick who's alive. So Ram says, you do the simple math, he says, and this is Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, by the Ramah, and in the parentheses, they quote the name of the Kolbo. He says, Nichum Aveilim beats out Bikr Chayim. Okay? The Ramah quotes it in Shema Medvav, very interesting. And the Shach writes in the name of the Bach the following. He says that if you have time to do both, Bikr Chayim comes first, because maybe the Cholim needs you. Not Bikuch Nefesh, because Bikuch Nefesh, of course you go there first. But maybe he needs you. Bikur Chayim entails, you know, giving food for the person, you know, seeing what needs he has. It entails davening in front of the person that Hashem should heal him. Right? And also, if you're born in the same mazel, it takes away 60th of his sickness when you visit him or her. But the Shach says in the name of the Bach, if you have time to do both, Bikur Chayim comes before Nicham Aveilim. If you don't have time to do both, then you pay the shivakol. Okay? That's what the Shach says, the name of the Bach, Halacha L'maaseh. It's interesting. I don't know, you're on a business trip, you only have time to do one of the two. That's what he says. But if you have time to do both, he says you do Bikur Chayim. It's in Shin Lamed, I think it's in Shin Lamed Vav. Yeah. I thought so. Shin Lamed. It's one of these Shin Lamed. Maybe Shin Lamed Hey. Yeah, here it is. Shin Lamed Hey Sif Yud. Nicham Aveilim Kodim LeBikur Chayim. Right there. Shin Lamed Hey Sif Yud in the Ramah. They say in the parenthesis Kolbo, but it's a Rambam. Rambam. And the Shach in Sif Kon Yadav says what we just said in the name of the Bach. That's only when you can't do both. But if you can do both, Bikur Chayim comes first. So Mavakis Rachan Imam or the sweep for him. This is the Chiddush. So there is a kasha that the Or Sameach asks on this Rambam. And we're not going to have time to go through. We'll go through it another time. But let's just close. He asks a kasha. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says in Sukkah, on the Malvim Beis, that the Sadiqim Yerushalayim, I don't know, maybe you got up to it. The Sadiqim Yerushalayim on Sukkahs, you know what they would do? They would take their lulav and they would mevaker chaylo and menachem avol on the moed. There's a Mishnah moed cotton, which hopefully we'll get up to towards the end of the summer, on Chav Zayin Amiz, is menachem avelim the moed. You do nicham avelim even on yontif. Did you know that? It's an often a Mishnah. It's a beferish Mishnah. Menachem avelim the moed. But it says beferish that you were mevaker chaylo first. It's a tosefta. Memalvim bezim sukkah. How can the Ram say against a tosefta? That's the kasha of Rosameach on the Rambam. You hear the kasha? Now, if you look up the Rosh on that Gemara, the Rosh has a flip girsa. He has Nicham Aveilim, then Bikur Chayim. If you look in the Beis Medrash and Wayu, there's a gigantic sefer called the Ktukei Sofer, has a collection of all the girsas of Chas. You look in the Ksav Yad Minkin, the Munich edition, it also has like the Rosh. So maybe the Rambam had the girsa of the Rosh? Can't be. Because the Rambam in Hilchos Lulav, Perek Zayin, Halacha Chaf Dalet, in Hilchos Lulav, quotes the schedule that Sadiq Mishlam, you know what he says? Bikur Chayim, Nicham Aveilim. So not only is the Rambam against the Gemara, he's steering the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Avol said Nicham Aveilim comes before Bikur Chayim, yes? But in Hilchos Lulav, he says Bikur Chayim, so he didn't have that girsa, so he can't give that answer. So not only is the Rambam against the Gemara, the Rambam is against himself. It's a steering the Rambam.
And the Or Sameach doesn't, I was thinking the following answer, but the Or Sameach is much bigger Talmud Chacham than me. He didn't think that that was right. I was thinking, say the Shach in the name of the Bach. When you have time to do both, like they did Bikur Cholim for Nicham Aveilu. Right? And the Ram was talking about only in a case you don't have enough time to do one of the two. That's a little schwer, because Kodim means both scenarios. Kodim, when you have only a time to do one, no. And Kodim also means we have time to do both. Which one comes first? That's why I think the Or Sameach didn't say my answer. You follow me? So we're left with a kasha. So another time in the summer, Blinar will say a mahalif from Rav Zhulti, says I'll give that answer to that Steve. Okay? All right, we'll stop here. I'm going to have a wonderful day. So tomorrow we'll have bagels. If you could try to come 8:45, that'd be great. And we start the Seder at 9.